Hello,
How are you?
hello. Good. How are you doing? You're looking lovely today.
Oh, thank you. Completely crazed. I mean, just, insane, but that's to be expected. My 11 o'clock was canceled, so I was pleasantly surprised that I could jump on this call.
Awesome.
I
Well,
may
that
not
is
be able to stay the whole time, but any time is good.
anytime is good, and that is a huge gift, right? That's a blessing.
Right.
All right. Well, hey, we will dive in. Wendy is sick, and we'll see if Kendra shows up. And then if not, it'll be us. Yay.
Oh, wow.
I
Okay,
know,
cool.
right? That's right. Because we're still small and mighty, although doors are gonna open. Well, doors just to the small group is tomorrow for the site, and we'll have our forum and all the other good stuff, and then everything will be sort of rolling out over the next week or so. So
Good for you. That's great.
awesome. So talk to me. Tell me where you're at in your reinvention. Like, this call basically is what, well, it's called Reinvention Clinic Q&A, right? So basically it's just about like any kind of questions, what's going on with your reinvention, coaching, all sorts of good stuff. So tell me what's up.
Nothing really. I mean, there's
Okay.
nothing going on with my reinvention because I am putting together the most massive film festival on the planet, and
Okay.
I'm basically sleeping under my desk, and it's 16-hour days, and it's just the craziest time of my year. And this
Okay.
year is particularly challenging because I have a new boss, and so there's a lot that's on my shoulders. And yeah, it's nuts. This is the grid that I just highlighted. I got to take 5 minutes and use highlighters.
Nice. I love that color. It's
Yeah,
beautiful.
that's the number of events that we have at this festival. And so it's been really hard to focus on anything else. I did put together a proposal. I did not get the scholarship that we worked on together. I've just found out, which is okay.
Okay.
But I did put together a proposal to direct a play at a theater in Washington, D.C. that it sort of came my way. It's not a paid gig, but it would be a nice introduction into that community.
Great.
And so I took the time this morning. I got up at like 6 to be able to take an hour to put it together and send it off by like the last second of the deadline, So that's about all I have done beyond this job.
Okay, well, can I tell you to take a moment and pat yourself on the back? Because getting up, literally, yes, that's right. That's right, both. Getting up at 6 a.m. to get that done in the midst of 16-hour days back to back is a huge, huge accomplishment.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Really, really. I mean, that's amazing. And I really want to hold the space for you to recognize your level of dedication and commitment to yourself.
Oh, thanks. That feels good.
Yeah, because how many people would have just been like, oh, it's too
I was
busy?
this close, this
Exactly.
close to saying no, I can't do
Exactly.
it.
Exactly. But you didn't. But you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. You did not like sell out on yourself. You're like, okay, this is hard. It's not easy. I'm exhausted. I have this much left, but this much I'm going to take to make my dream happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is huge. Huge. Huge, 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 huge. It's that level of commitment, girl. That's it.
Okay. Well, I
Okay.
will say that, I mean, we talk a lot about, all the different facets of life, the job, the relationship,
That's right.
health, and everything.
That's right.
And I do, I mean, I have completely gone off sugar. And
Oh.
Valentine's Day, I have not had any refined sugar at all.
Oh, that's huge.
I've had a
Another big
little
change.
bit of carbs, like rice and corn, and a little bit of wine, but that's it. All the sugar is
Wow.
out of my system, and there it is a huge change in my level of depression, honestly.
Interesting. So say
And
more
I
about
didn't know
that.
they were connected. I
Yeah.
really had no idea that the anxiety and depression were connected to the
Yes.
sugar.
Yes, that's right. It is.
You know, and I'm making it work for me. I'm doing a keto thing, which allows me to have a lot of, you know, meat and cream cheese and things that I like. Mm-hmm. I'm following a book that my spouse recommends, Dr. Mona Morstein. It's a book for diabetics. And mm-hmm. there are certain things like, there are sugar substitutes that are like monk fruit and xylitol, things that don't raise the blood sugar. Yep. That I've been learning how to make desserts with, which has actually been kind of fun.
Awesome.
And she allows a certain amount of wine and whiskey, and as long as they don't have sugar in them, like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. so sure. that's been a nice balance for me. Because after 16-hour days, I do occasionally still need, if I'm not eating cupcakes, I got to have something.
That's right. That's right.
But it's, it no longer feels like an escape. It just feels like a treat.
Awesome.
Which is, I think, a big shift. And, yeah, it's, you know, challenging at times. I don't know that I'm probably cutting calories as much as I need to really start to lose the weight, but even just the shift in the sugar for now, is huge.
Yeah, that is huge. And what I really want to reframe for you is how much you are taking those steps, right? You don't get from the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs without taking the stairs. And so many people try to jump to the top of the stairs.
Yeah.
And then they come falling back down, right? Because you tried to take like 5 stairs at once. Instead, what you're doing is you're going step by step. And so each step is solid. So you're getting really solid in this.
Yeah.
Right? And then once this is really anchored, then you can decide, oh, here's my next step.
Right.
And the other piece of this too, and I've been doing some reading, like one of the things that the club is really based around is this book called Change Anything. And it's basically six scientific strategies and practices to bring about change.
Okay. You
know, they're all proven. But one of the things that it talks about is taking a framework and customizing it for you. So that there's no one size fits all plan. You take the plan and then you make it your own. And that's what you're doing with this, right? You're saying, okay, you know, the way that my life works, these are the things that I need to have. And I can make these desserts like this, or I can have wine and whiskey. Like, this is your plan.
Right.
Right. So I just want to pull that out for you and so that you can amplify that, because if things work or don't work, it's more a matter of customization to you and your particular circumstances than any personal failure, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally does. It totally does. And I feel good about the changes in diet. I really do. More mentally than physically, which I had no idea that they were connected in that way.
Yes.
That's really good. And being out here I'm in LA and it's hard to be away from my spouse for this long, but, you know, it's sunny. I have a corner office with a view and, I have a lot of alone time, you know, because I'm staying in a little Airbnb, and that it's actually been good to have a little bit of space. Mm. Not that I don't miss her. I miss her like crazy.
Of course.
But I think it's allowed clarity for both of us. You know, one of the things that I kept coming up against, which I think I've shared with you, is just kind of like our timeline, given our age difference and our geography issue because of her licensure and my career goals. And, over the Easter holiday, I went home for a weekend and we had some really honest conversations about what it would look like to have a more unorthodox lifestyle.
Ooh, interesting.
And what it would look like to have a home base and yet, you know, in Washington, D.C. or San Francisco or wherever it is she ends up wanting to land that works for her career, and then me having a studio apartment in New York or L.A. and that we come and go to both. And, you know, and that we sort of make that part of our romance and part of our, you know, I really want a cat and she's allergic and it's been a whole thing. And I was like, well, I'll have a New York cat and you can keep the dog in DC. And she was like, I love that. I'll come visit the New York cat and take my allergy meds. So we kind of, she brought it up. This wasn't me sort of forcing the issue this time. She sort of initiated I want I want a lifestyle that works for us, but I also want a lifestyle that's interesting and exciting. And us just buying a house in DC and living the rest of our lives like normal people, isn't that exciting? And right. It's not what you want. And so why don't we actively create something else? And it was huge for us because we got to really, I think, fall in love a little bit with just a deeper kind of, it was just kind. It was a kind thing that I think she did, knowing that what we were doing wasn't working.
Right.
And being open to something that will, I think I have no idea when we're going to, you know, be able to afford to have two homes but the vision is there, not just for me now, it's for both of us.
Awesome. That is huge, huge breakthrough. Oh my God. You started this conversation by like, oh, nothing's been happening. I've been working. And then all of a sudden it's like, you've just been telling me breakthrough after breakthrough.
Well, everything's happening on the job front in the sense that I have no idea what I'm doing with my job. And all of the things that we talked about in terms of like going to, you know, DGA meetings and meeting with directors, none of that's happened. I've done nothing on that.
But here's the thing though. Reinvention is about creating a life that you love. These are all foundational things. And the beauty of it is that when we make changes in one area, that energy infuses all areas. Right now, work is occupied mostly by your current job. And it just has to be that way until this festival is done. Like, that's it. But you carved out your space in that space, but you didn't allow that to forestall changes in the other areas. Right? So you're actually coming at it from all angles, this reinvention.
Yeah.
So really, this is incredible progress. Incredible progress.
I'll take it.
Yeah, as you should. Hello, as you should. This is amazing. This is like a breakthrough. I mean, if you think about like just back to even last fall, you know, how stuck you were feeling, how physically stuck you were feeling, all of these things. I mean, it's a big shift.
Yeah.
You know, and this energy, like think about the energy that this unlocks physically, emotionally for you to create life. Right? That's why this is happening in this order. Right?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right? Because you need this energy, because what you're creating is big. On the work side, you're going to be creating big things, but you need these other elements in order to show up like in your full light. Mm-hmm. So the things that were kind of weighing you down in the other areas are shifting to become sources.
True.
Yeah. Wow. And so talk to me more about this vision for life, because, you know, I mean, in my book, the first law is it starts with a vision for your life. So you are right on point, right?
Right. Well, I think I still, you know, we had a conversation many months ago, just kind of about how, you know, as a director, most directors have an interest in theater and television and film, and I can't carve out all three at the same time. And that, that I was really wanting to focus the majority of my energy on television. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I shared with you that I produced a piece, a mini documentary on Ava Gardner for Filmstruck.
Yeah, I saw the email. Yes. Okay, so talk about that.
So I had approached the production team here at Filmstruck, which is outside of my department. And I said, you know, look, you know, I'm leaving. I'd really like for us to have something for Filmstruck on my reel. You know, is there a chance that you'd let me produce a piece? I have a concept for something. And I pitched a concept and they were like, well, we don't have the budget to put a mini doc together for that particular project. But we have this other project over here on Ava Gardner that we already have the budget for that we need somebody to do. Would you like to do that one? And I hemmed and hawed about it for a second. I was like, I don't know anything about Ava Gardner. And this is not what I was, you know, sort of, you know, envisioning. And I have to get permission from my boss. And it's a ton of extra work and all this stuff. And so I called my friend Angela, who is a producer on that team and is just a friend. And I was like, you know, look, she had offered to kind of mentor me through the project when I had my own pitch. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, look, here's what's happened with this. You know, he's offering me this. I'm thinking that I don't really have the bandwidth for it, nor do I have the expertise, and I'm thinking I should let this go. And she's like, are you crazy? She's like, this is so easy. I can give you all the tools to do this. This is going to take no time at all. You have to say yes to this opportunity. And so I said, okay.
Awesome.
It turned out to be such a good experience.
Oh.
The author of the book we were interviewing was actually a co-author, and she asked her co-author to come in and interview as well, and we agreed to do that, and he was brilliant and fun, and I'm so glad we did, because it really made the piece. He just was so eloquent and knew so much. It really caused me to fall in love with Ava Gardner, because he was so passionate about it, and the piece turned out to be really lovely. It's about 16 minutes, and it's gotten a lot of positive, vibe or whatever, and now they've asked me to do another one.
Oh my god!
I know.
Oh my god.
So I haven't had permission to do that yet, and I haven't brought it up to my boss, because it's gonna, like, my initial plan was to finish the festival and leave this job.
Right.
Well, in order to do this other piece, I either have to stay on an additional 2 months or work out something with them to do this freelance, which I think is on the table, but they don't know that they can get that budget approved in the time that I would need to make the decision. So I'm toying with staying on if I can do this piece. It's on lesbian cinema, which would be perfect.
Woohoo, yeah.
But I have to kind of talk my boss into it in a time where everything is really busy for her. And basically when she allows me to do this, it's taking time away from other things, because I'm focused on another department who's not paying me. You know, they're not paying for my services. I'm sort of volunteering for another department. So I'm trying not to get attached, because it's really her call. Mm-hmm. And I have to find the right opportunity to ask amongst the bigger conversation of when I'm leaving, because I know she's anxious to know. Mm-hmm. So all things that I need to kind of sort out with her when there's free, you know, whether space to do that, and there just hasn't been space to do that because of how crazy the festival is. So just trying to figure that out. Her son's on spring break this week. I think she's home some. So I think maybe next week I might try to just say, hey, can we have coffee? Can we take 5 minutes? There's a couple things I want to chat through with you and see how that goes.
Okay. So despite the fact that you're saying that things are not happening even on the work front, I just want to point out to you, okay, these reports are like so not accurate.
Well, you know, it's actually been a while since you and I have talked, and I guess I was sort of in my brain when we got on this call thinking about what's happened between now and the time I talked to Coach Corey last week, and it was like nothing. So it didn't really occur to me how long it had been since you and I had a conversation.
Right. But here's the other thing, though, that I want to point out to you about that how we talk about what we do really affects our internal mood.
Mm.
Right? Okay. So part of this shift for you is to learn to speak to possibility and to speak to your progress, right? Mm-hmm. That the story becomes a story of progress.
Oh, okay. All right, I got that.
Right?
Yeah.
Always.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. And
two things, okay? So two things are, one's the daily success list, okay? This is gonna be, I'm gonna be like on the soapbox, and you will see this in the community. I'm gonna be like daily success list and progress log, okay? Which is, in the forum, you'll go in, you'll just like log your progress. Because part of the thing is that you're so busy, and this is just true of all of us. We get so busy and we're looking at the list of things we haven't done, right? That's what we're looking at, because we're like, I gotta get this done, gotta get this done, gotta get this done. The minute something's done, it's off. So we're always separated from our progress.
Right, because it's done, yeah.
Because it's done. Right. And until something comes up again, it's like there's nothing. And so we're always sitting in a space of lack and no progress until we start to train our mind, train our brain to notice and to have the conversation of progress and building back to those stairs. Because if you're always at the first stair step, there's never really anywhere to go.
Right. Okay. That's good.
Right. So these are kind of little habits, this daily success list. And even though you're having 16-hour days, which I understand because I've been having 16-hour days trying to get this site done. But when I get into bed, okay, as exhausted as I am, even if it's 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, I take that 3 minutes, like even if it's just a scribble, to write down some successes for the day.
Okay.
Four. Here are four.
For a day, shit, woman.
Okay. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. We're stepping it up. No, it has to be because it's part of training your brain.
Okay.
Okay, so let's do it right now. If you were to, because let's start. Yeah, yeah, exactly. The eyes get big. Oh, what do we now? Okay, so what would four things be right now?
For today, it's only 11 o'clock here.
That's right. I don't care. There are good four things already.
Well, the proposal is one for sure.
Absolutely. Okay.
That's an easy one.
Right.
I highlighted my grid.
That's two. Absolutely. You now have this visual. That's good. All right. We got that.
So are these reinvention successes?
All successes, all like are blessings or ways that you have moved forward today.
Okay, because you know I can be kind of literal at times.
That's right, but this is, again, this is good because it's the training of what to be able to notice, like what falls in this bucket. So this is a perfect conversation.
Okay, well, Cecily Tyson's flights were not as expensive as we thought they were going to be.
Okay, that's awesome, but that's not you, right?
Oh, it feels like a mess. Okay. Success for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some way, big or small, work-related or not, some way that you have moved forward today or something amazing.
Well, I packed my lunch.
That's right. That is a huge
completely,
one.
Completely, you know, sort of owning what, because if I just go get something downstairs, I don't know that it's really going to be in my food plan.
That's right. So that's actually a really big success for the day.
Okay. That's right? Three. I said, that's three.
That's three. That's right. And it's only 11. Where's the fourth? I know of a fourth.
What?
No.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Right? Yeah. Your time, that was magic, was it not?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you decided, okay, here I am. So the other good thing about daily successes is that it's things that you've done, but it's also ways that life has helped you.
Okay. Okay.
Right? All right.
So, well, the Cecily Tyson thing counts because if that budget went over, my ass would be handed to me.
I love that. All right. Cecily Tyson gets to be on the list. All right. Yeah. So that's life helping you. And this is what I love about this. So it's not only just things that you've done, but the way life also is helping you create, you know, what you want.
Okay.
Right. And so the important thing about noticing both is that in the noticing of how life is helping you, then you start to feel that partnership.
Yeah.
Right? And it's only 11 o'clock.
And it's only 11 o'clock.
And look at how much life has already helped you.
Truth.
Right? And how much you've already helped yourself. Mm. So... now imagine if you noticed this every single day, like what would happen to the way that you thought?
It'd be huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So do you want the turbocharged version of this?
Am I even handling the regular version?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, rock star girl.
Okay, go ahead.
So the turbocharged version is every so often to write like all the other cool things that are happening. So the things that you just said to me, my spouse and I are looking at ways to creatively, you know, live our lives in, you know, multiple cities. You know, the opportunity that I have right now to, you know, to direct this lesbian cinema piece. I mean, These are, so again, you start to remind yourself of opportunities and good things that are floating around that maybe aren't showing up every day. But when you, again, okay, bringing those to the forefront, remind your brain like, hey, there's good stuff pending there, even if it's not every single day that something is happening with it.
Okay.
And that's okay, important too.
Cool thing, the cool things that are happening list. Got
yes,
it.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So I've named two. I want you to name two more.
We set our wedding date.
Oh,
really cool thing that I'm really excited about.
You know
how our wedding was canceled and we've hemmed and hawed for a long time about it all. And we finally just decided that June 20th, which is our anniversary of 2020, which is our 10-year anniversary, we are going to get married.
Yay! Wow. That's powerful.
Some time to plan and save. Feels comfortable, but I have told the entire bridal party to write it on their calendars in ink that it's not changing again.
Awesome. That's huge. That's wonderful.
And it gives me a really solid date to get down into the size that I need to fit in that stupid dress.
Well, now here's the thing, okay? You don't even have to think about that as a goal. Here's why.
Okay.
If you just do what you're doing now and allow that to unfold, you will get to where you want.
Okay.
And I can speak to that from personal experience, where I just focused on what am I doing every day and creating it in a way that I could live with for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And one day I woke up and I was this size. And now it's been 10 years because the attention wasn't on getting to the size. The attention was on building a life that was workable.
Okay.
So that's the beauty of it, because if you do that, then when you get there, there's no problem maintaining it. Whereas if you make the size the goal,
right,
then when you get to there, it's like, oh, now what?
Okay.
Okay.
So okay.
If you just keep doing what you're doing and whatever comes up next for you, you do that, you won't even have to worry on that day.
Okay.
You're just going to be like, ooh, look at me.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen, just as an aside, have you seen those flying veils?
No.
I just, because I was reading about it this morning, so I said, you're talking about weddings. Oh my, it's this thing in China where the bride is standing and then this veil comes flying in and like drops on her. You'll appreciate that as a producer.
Oh my God.
It's like this totally dramatic thing. This big veil comes streaming down and then she's standing there and it just drops on her.
That's hysterical. Yeah, I don't think that's for me. But it's really funny.
I know I know. I was like, this is fun. But, you know, hey, in the pantheon of wedding entertainment, you can always have a flying veil. All
right. I love it.
So you are doing really well.
Yeah, I guess I am. Doesn't feel that way most days, but yeah, I guess I am.
So, you know, what can you do to get it to feel that way most days?
Honestly, I think file for bankruptcy.
Okay.
I think my debt is so insurmountable that it weighs on my shoulder so heavily I can't enjoy anything else.
Okay. All right. So that would be a big gift to yourself, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah, the gift of yourself.
I've really been hemming and hawing about it lately, but I'm very close to making a decision. It'll be after I leave this job, of course, but
I just
don't see another way.
Okay. I mean, that's what it's there for.
Right.
Right? It's a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do you need to leave the job to make the decision? I just want to clarify. Are you waiting to leave the job to make the decision, or are you going to make the decision and then just execute after leaving the job?
I think I need to leave the job to make the decision.
Oh, really? Why?
I think there's just a lot of factors. You have to be in a state for so long, you have to file under their laws, and you have to pass 6 months of income. Like, it just, I feel like now is not the time. My guidance says wait.
Oh yeah. I mean, well, that's different than decision. Decision doesn't mean action.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. I've made the decision to file for bankruptcy unless some amazing job comes along that allows me to not need to. I'm very happy with the universe answering this prayer differently.
Okay.
And doubling my income, and then I'm happy to pay what I owe, you know?
Okay.
But at this stage, I've made the decision to file if after this chapter at Turner, there isn't a lucrative, solution.
Okay. All right. So the decision really is made. And now you're just open to how it unfolds.
Right. Because the timing of it is not.
Right. And I think what's important because there'll be people who are watching this too, and for your own learning in this, is to separate the decision from timing.
It's really good for me to know that people are going to be watching this, because I'm so glad I did not talk about my uterus or the other things that are going on with me. I'm glad I know that now.
Hey, well, these calls are recorded, right? RuPaul. But you can talk about your uterus if you want.
Noted.
Talk about all things. Look, it's all confidential, so it's staying within the Launch Club group.
Okay.
Talking about your uterus outside of the group. If you want to talk about your uterus on the boards, we can talk that too. Point is that this is a safe space. It is not Facebook.
Right.
Right. That's why we have the forum. Okay. That's private. I love it. So, but I think what's important in this is the distinction, and I just want to separate that out for you and for anyone else who's going to be watching this, but the distinction between making a decision and executing or taking action. Okay. Because many times people put them together, and then what happens is that you end up in stasis, right? Mm-hmm. But what you did is you said, okay, I've made the decision. Now's not the moment to execute the decision. But the decision is made, and then you're waiting to see how the space unfolds.
Right.
Right? So I just want to pull that out for you so that you can use that tool intentionally.
Okay.
Because it's really important, because sometimes life has to catch up.
Right.
Right? Mm. That's right. And so if we think we got to make a decision and go into action right away, we've given no space for life to step in and help us.
Right.
It's like giving us Cicely Tyson's tickets at the right price. Some things can't be rushed.
True.
Right? So there's a real partnership that's going on in this. And so that would also be something that's really good for your daily success list, is to acknowledge yourself for making that decision to create freedom for yourself and staying open to how it unfolds.
Okay.
And to the partnership that you have with life to bring another option. So you are rocking and rolling, lady. I mean, really. Really are. I mean, even your face is light.
It's the window.
It's not the window. But okay, Ms. Director, the lighting does help. I'm all glowy. Here I am. Oh my God, you're hysterical. All right. So we're circling back to vision. Okay, we're circling back to vision. So that's where we got with this whole bankruptcy piece, because that was about creating some space for you, mm-hmm. in the vision of your life. Okay. So what else? What else has been kind of percolating for you around vision?
So I had spoken to you about the mini doc and the opportunity to produce another one. So it's, I'm trying internally to really focus on that whole idea of television being, you know, the primary focus, and looking for jobs in the television industry specifically, because I was initially kind of casting a wide net, and the things that I've interviewed for and the things that I've come up, they're not right. Uh-huh. And that's obvious to me and the employer, you know, it's just, it's not right yet. And the only thing that I'm really excited about is discovery, but they're in a huge stasis. Right. And even though they are currently in DC, they're not going to be in DC for very much longer.
That's right.
Which may end up being okay. You know, perhaps I join them while they're in Silver Spring, and then when they move to New York, so will I. You know, perhaps that is a thing that could work, but I'm definitely focusing a majority of my applications on television jobs in New York.
Okay.
Because okay. Sandy is really committed to being in LA, I mean, being in DC for at least the next, you know, chunk of time. And okay. So for me to look out here in LA, while I haven't completely ruled it out, it doesn't feel as right.
Uh-huh.
So I think sort of focusing in on Manhattan for now, uh-huh. and focusing in on television for now, like those two decisions have kind of been made as a, yes, I'll consider jobs in the arts and theater. And yes, I will, you know, look at what's out there, but really setting the intention that television and New York are the next piece of the puzzle.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's huge too, because what that does is it allows you to channel your energy.
Right.
Because sometimes when we're looking to create, if we have too much, mm-hmm. you know, too many different options, then the energy becomes diffuse.
Right.
Okay. But when you create a container, because really that's what you're saying, here are my containers,
mm-hmm.
right? And not to say that life can't bring you other things, but you're not actively expanding your containers beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden the energy has a chance to gain momentum within those guardrails.
Right.
Right.
And I'm doing little things like I'm looking at apartments in New York, not that I can afford them yet, but just to kind of get a sense, you know, and I texted my friend Andrew, who has a house in Harlem, in which he rents rooms out of. And I was like, the next time you have an availability, let me know. Mm-hmm. And he actually sent me an ad for a job that his buddy is hiring, which I'm going to put an application in on next week. And then like Sandy and I, now that we've had this conversation, we're both kind of excited about it. So we'll sit and do things like come up with names for the New York cat, you know, like come up with all the characters from Broadway shows, like, you know, like which Broadway show are we going to name the New York cat after?
You
know? The energy around that is, it's just fun. It uh-huh. just makes this whole transition feel, you know, fun and specific.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oddly, right. Even though, you know, it has nothing really to do with the job, just any little thing like that. Our friend Jill also has a house on the Upper West Side. And I've talked to her about, like, at first, like, let's say I get something in New York, and but I'm not at the place yet to really establish a residency. You know, could I stay with her 3 nights out of the week, each week, until it's all sorted out? And she said yes.
Okay.
So that feels good too, that if I get something I need to say yes to tomorrow, that there's a plan in place for me to be in Manhattan tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it we can figure out.
Wow. So that's huge. I mean, hello, like things are already happening in that direction.
Right. Right. Which feels good. It feels like the universe is saying yes to something that my partner and I are both excited about.
So. That's right. That's right. And you've like laid the groundwork. Like you've done all these things in the midst of being incredibly busy, but you're also laying your foundation for where you're headed. So this is all happening in a very sort of fluid, organic way, but it's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and like a job opportunity, you know, your friend sends you this job opportunity, you're applying for the job opportunity. I mean, again, things are happening.
Right.
Right? So I think for you, noticing Like, and really writing these things down is so huge, because again, that energy will start to be harnessed within you. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. Oh, this is happening. And then all of a sudden it's like, and then you start to notice more, because that energy is all there and you're like, oh, look at that. Oh, okay. Oh, here's another thing I can, and it'll feel very like natural, as opposed to, I have to do this.
Right.
Right? Because you're like partnering with the energy of the universe to be like kind of woo about it, but it's what's happening.
Well, I'm very woo, so that's good for
that's
me.
That's right. That's right.
You have to get it weeds, remember?
That's right. That's right. That's right. But not every, not, you know, I move along the woo scale. You
know? I know. I
we
know,
all
I
have
know.
Our woos. We have our woos. So yeah. So that's, so this is amazing. Okay. So again, working with all that is really critical in creation. And this is what you're doing, is actively creating. You know, have you decided what kind of cat?
Well, I have a thing for white cats. Oh. I had a white cat for 16 years. Her name was Sophia. She was my child.
Oh.
And she died from cancer a couple of years ago. Okay. And I'm just kind of now to a place where I'm ready
okay.
for another cat. But it's been really hard for, because Sandy's out, you know, Sandy's allergic. And she dealt with Sophia. She loved Sophia, but her allergies suffered, you know. And she's been really resonant about me getting another cat. And this is a nice solve for us, that, you know, the cat yeah. lives in the second home.
That's right. A cat and a second home.
Yeah.
Like, think about that vision. I mean, even you just smile, even thinking about that.
I do, because I'm totally going to toilet train it, like no litter boxes, and it's going to be PSA approved as an emotional support pet. So it's going to go everywhere with me. Yeah. I have a whole plan.
See, look at that. Look at that. See? I didn't know cats could be emotional support pets.
Yes.
Really?
They can be. Uh-huh. And they, so she could fly with me. Oh. And, yeah.
Well, that's interesting to know. Information. Right. So, and toilet trained. I mean, so there you go. This is really specific. White?
Yeah. White with blue eyes. Yeah.
There you go.
Short hair.
Short hair.
Short hair. Small on the small side. Mm-hmm. They have a very specific cat plan.
Yeah. I hear that. And I was like, that, like, I know that cat. Like, I can see it in the head, in my head. I know the cat. It's like, oh, I'll recognize this cat. When this cat shows up, I'll be like, oh, Brandy's cat. There you are.
So true.
Yeah. So.
I think something you probably don't know about me is I'm a little bit of a cat fanatic.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm the person on Facebook that posts 10 cat memes a day. Like, that's me. So,
oh, really? Yeah. How do we miss this conversation?
Well, you're not on Facebook, and I don't that's have right. a cat right now, so it wouldn't really ever come up. But.
That's true. And, you know, even though we're having this, I'm surprised that I have not had a little cat walking behind me, because there are cats floating around here.
I know, and I think I remember the first day we Skyped, I saw the cat, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have a cat. This is going to work.
Right, that's right. That's right. But during this call, I hid the stuffed mouse so that you did not hear the cat going in the background. Because I was like, that's what he will do. He'll take this moment to be the mighty hunter and be hunting his stuffed mouse while I am trying to coach on camera.
Oh. My, I have a boy cat that lives with my mom now. But he was the kind of cat that was never supposed to be domestic. He was very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And, my mom has a farm. So it just worked out so much better for her to take him at a certain point, when Sophia got sick, and he's living out the rest of his life there. But he has this stuffed rat. That, I mean, he can't live without it. He carries it everywhere, and he just sits and meows at it. And we're like, what are you saying to that rat? We don't understand, but he loves it.
Oh, so there you go. So I love it. I love it. Like, even like just looking at your face, like there's just this sense of joy and happiness and smiling and energy. And that's what a vision's supposed to bring, right?
Right.
Right. So in those moments, you're like, think about that. And it just unlocks all this energy.
Yeah.
And so that's what's getting you up at 6 a.m.
Totally true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's right. So that's another thing. So how are you bringing this vision to yourself? Like, how are you reminding yourself of this vision? Like a little vision shot, if you know what I mean, like a little booster shot.
I'm really not. I mean, it's coming up organically, but I have been the kind of person in the past to make a vision board or a treasure map, or, you know, I've done some of that in the past, but I certainly haven't done it recently.
Hmm. So what could be an easy way? Because right now, like, you're having 16-hour days. So, you know, doing a vision board when you have 16-hour days.
Well, you know, when I remember once when I grabbed a piece of construction paper and I made a little tiny treasure map for a trip to Brazil I really wanted to go on. It was a pilgrimage to see John of God. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, familiar John of God.
It wasn't incredibly artistic or anything. It was just a little, but I folded it up and I kept it in my wallet. Mm-hmm. And it was big enough to where if I was searching for a card or something, I would see it there. And sometimes I would unfold it, you know, and I went on the trip. It worked really well. So it might be worth creating one of those. I could see finding the time to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's perfect. And what I love about that is that it was very easy. Like, you made it like a very easy, low stress thing. You know, who says that a vision board has to be a big artistic thing? Like, I know there are whole industries around that. And yes, when we have time, that's always nice.
Sure.
But they are just sometimes as simple as pulling out a piece of paper, a picture, right, and just exactly what you did and folding it up and putting it in the wallet. You know, I've done that. Actually, here's my, like, dead simple vision board story, okay?
Okay.
So a few years ago, I decided that, you know, I wanted to do something with Oprah, okay? I was like, I wanna do something with Oprah. Okay, like me and a million other people, but hey, that's what I wanted. And so I don't know, I was like busy one day, but I had like this magazine, so I pulled out this thing and it said, Oprah calls me. That's what it said. And it was sitting on my desk, okay? And I had like, my admin was there, she saw, like I pulled this out and it said, you know, Oprah calls me. 2 days later, I get this call from O Magazine to come and do a talk for Oprah Magazine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right. And so when I said, oh my God, you know, I mean, I picked up the phone and I was like, oh, hi, this is so-and-so from O Magazine. And we're wondering if you, I was like, and my assistant was like, oh my God.
That's amazing.
Yes. So it doesn't always have to be a big old thing. Sometimes it is just a matter of pulling whatever it is and just keeping it with you, some way of intention. So I love the fact that you're saying, I can just get a piece of construction paper, I can put a couple of things here, and then I can just put that, you know, in my wallet and just carry it. So yay!
Love it.
Love it. Love it. Well, and this is in keeping with everything that you've been doing lately, right? Small steps.
Yeah.
The power of small steps. One of the things that is in the site that you'll see is I did an interview with Dr. BJ Fogg, who is a Stanford, he's a PhD, okay? He's not a doctor, he's a PhD. He runs like the Stanford, I think, computer lab. But he also does this program called Tiny Habits. And his whole thing is how you bring about change by doing these little small things. It's a free program that he runs, you know? And so I interviewed him, and so on the site, you'll be able to go on and like, and it, what's the interview that's on the site is like the uncut version. Like, the podcast had a more edited version, but this one, you'll hear all of it. But, you know, he talks about how doing the simplest, smallest things are what really bring about change, or, you know, help us do what we want in our lives. So not making it a big project. So definitely tune in and listen to that, because it's a good thing to kind of
tiny habits.
Dr. BJ Fogg. Yeah. All right. So I see we have 10 minutes left. What else can we do? What other kind of fun can we have in this 10 minutes?
I don't know. We've covered a lot.
We have.
We really have. Let me ask you, because you brought it up, about having an assistant. You know, that I have often thought that I'm at a place where my life is so full, both personally and professionally, that that I need an assistant. But at the same time, I've always been so financially strapped, it was never an option to hire someone, especially not full time. And I've looked at those things online where it's like, oh, you have, you know, an online so-and-so. It's just not personal enough for me, especially given what I do. Do you have any advice about hiring a part-time assistant, or where you get to your career where you say, I'm at the place where I need one?
Okay. That's a great question, actually. And it's a really good reinvention question, because what it really brings about is what do I do, and what is better done by someone else so that I can free my energy up to do the things that only I can do.
Right.
Right. Because that's really what this question's about.
Yeah.
So the question, well, first let me ask you, what were you thinking about having an assistant do?
Well, I was thinking about when I leave this job, I will likely be freelancing again. Mm-hmm. And so there will be a lot of things that I just, there are a lot of things now I feel like, both personally and professionally. List so many, I can't even put them all quantified,
okay,
but
well, personal
things like, oh my God, paying the bills, changing oil in the car, taking the dry cleaning, making sure there's somebody that's going to give the dog his insulin. You know, there are lots of personal things that I think would really benefit from assistance, that take up a lot of time. And then there's a lot in terms of just scheduling my own meetings and answering all the calls and fielding proposals and applications and grant work and all, you know, there's just a ton of stuff that I don't want to do it all.
Okay.
I've done a lot of it, and I can continue to do it, but it's a complete time suck.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So those are two different kinds of assistants.
Yes.
Right. So two different kinds of assistants. So the first piece is to ask yourself, there are two things. One is what would really free you up to do the things that would move you forward?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if it's a matter of like these house things, I just don't want to deal with, and I just only want to pay attention to all, you know, the work related stuff, then that's going to have the biggest impact. But if it's, you know what, I want somebody in there doing the stuff in the work so that I'm only focused on the high value work.
I think it's more that. I mean, if I had to choose, I think it's more that.
Okay.
One grant application can take weeks.
Okay.
One application to a any sort of those, you know, national programs, like I did that one with you, that they take forever.
Okay.
And some of the pieces of them can only be done by me, and I get that, but not the entire thing.
Right.
You know, all the dot the I's and cross the T's and print it in a PDF and put a stamp on it on the third day and make sure that the resume and the thing are in the same format. That shit.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That stuff I would love. And plus there are people that are just a lot more tech savvy than me. I'm old now. You know, I have a girl here who's my travel coordinator, who's my direct report, and she can do things so much faster than me just from, you know, on the whole, because she's younger.
Right. Okay. All right. So now you start to have a lane, right? So then the question becomes, how much is it worth to you not to do those tasks?
Got it. Okay.
Okay. And that'll start to tell you. But when I hear those things, I also hear present with you. You know, I don't hear virtual.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, because I think because my career is kind of specific. I mean, if I was an accountant or, you know, like there are lots of people that could help virtually in certain fields. Mm-hmm. I don't think mine is one of them. Plus I'm just kind of a touchy feely kind of person.
Right.
I mean, something like you and I are doing right now could possibly work if I knew that the person had the background
Okay.
Of understanding, you know, like let's say there was a theater person in Chicago who does a lot of grants who, you know, we had, you know, I can Skype with them and I'm open to it.
Okay.
But yeah, I would think that it would be better to have somebody.
Okay. Well, this type of thing, okay, this type of interaction is, this will allow you to manage your costs.
Mm.
Okay. Because if we talk about your markets, DC, New York, or even as a backup, LA, and you think about how much people cost in those markets.
True.
Right?
Right.
But if you end up going someplace where the price point for earning is lower, then it ends up being a win-win, right? Because you can pay less, they get more than they would locally.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is the beauty of what the internet allows right now.
Mm, okay, that's good advice.
Right? So if you'll expand that, and, you know, and I'll just pull out, like me last night, you know, I was having my web developers in Germany, you know, my tech VA is in Australia. Yeah, my coach is in Australia.
Wow.
You know, Coach Corey's in London.
Right.
In France. So, you know.
Okay. That's helpful for me. That really kind of unlocks something huge that I didn't even know that I was limiting. So, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I even have not only my tech VA, but then I have like kind of a basic VA. Like that does the more like routine tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's out of Malaysia and she's $12 an hour.
Wow.
Okay. And that's expensive for Malaysia. Because most of that is like $5 an hour, but she's good.
Yeah.
So it's 12, okay?
She's $7 an hour.
So 12. So it's because she's good. Because she could talk to me and send me, you know, she pings me and she's like leaves me voicemails and she's like really on top of stuff, but she happens to be in Malaysia.
Cool.
So if you're willing to play with time zones and you're willing to, you know, do this kind of thing, you can build a relationship and have really great talent. And then you can look for talent in areas that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. My Excel girl, she's in like Belarus. She does like, she's this incredible express Excel jockey and it's $20 to get her to do a spreadsheet.
Oh my God. You're kidding me.
No. Now it takes time to find talent.
Oh, of course.
We can talk about that, but the world is your oyster, my dear.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously, you know, I am not away from this job yet. So it's nothing to do right this moment, but I will look to you for guidance when I'm ready to start that. Cause that makes it sound more doable.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. So look at that. All kinds of possibility. All right. Well, this is an awesome call today.
Thank you. I'm glad I got to get on with you. This is great.
Thank you for showing up. I appreciate it because otherwise it would just be me.
Talking to the cats.
Talking to the cats. That's not exciting. Although they love it, but I don't. So look for an email from me tomorrow.
Okay.
And then come into the boards, you know, let us know what's on your daily success list. And the cool thing about that now is that once the boards are open, then you can go there and we can talk in between, right? Okay. These kinds of things.
Or that'd be great.
Ping it, you know, whenever in the middle of the night, you're like, ah, and we can respond, me and Coach Corey.
All right. Thank you for everything.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. Sending you big hugs.
Okay. Bye. You too.
Bye.